The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Gasper!
Final hour, Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So as I've now said a few times here, it's been an embarrassment of riches, obviously, for Boston sports fans here the last few weeks. Got the Red Sox in the World Series, Celtics starting up, Patriots. You know, we're now heading to week 7, and the Patriots just played what was the most entertaining game of this young NFL season thus far. Entertaining for most, Chris. That game, I'm glad that they won. I tweeted it, and I'm not taking it back. I don't apologize for it. Like, part of it, I hate it. Like, it reminded me of Super Bowl 52. It's like, can you just make a stop, please? Like, oh, God. Jeez. And I loved how the defense played in the first half. You have these exotic blitzes being dialed up by Bill Belichick. The one interception by Dante Hightower, and he played his best game of the season.
Yeah,
it looks
great.
Like he's going to blitz. He drops back into coverage, cuts off the man who's going for the slant, makes the pick. Yay! You're getting some pressure off the edges here. It looked like the moment might have been too big, at least in the first half, for Patrick Mahomes. And then he became Patrick Mahomes in the second half. And, oh, my God. What a fire drill. And I am reading from a certain someone of the Boston Globe just 5 days ago, the headline, "That wasn't a performance the Patriots defense should be proud of." Written by, Christopher L. Gasper. That's Christopher Lee Gasper to you of the Boston Globe.
Okay.
So reading from your column here, does it still qualify as bend but don't break defense if you allow 40 points and the only thing that prevents you from surrendering more is that your offense managed to score the winning points without leaving any time on the clock? Yeah, it did feel like in that second half it was going to come down to who had the ball last, and that's what happened. But boy, what a mess in that second half, and it was another bad week for Devin McCourty and the safety play overall. Really, if you were from Rutgers, you sucked.
I thought Jason was okay in that game.
So, just overall, for those that didn't happen to read the column, is this fixable, Chris? Because it feels like if you include the second half of the game against Indianapolis, and I do, because Devin McCourty wasn't good in that game either, it's kind of looked worse here the last couple of weeks.
I mean, it is a little bit of a troubling trend, and I would even go back as far as the Super Bowl. I thought the safety play wasn't very good in that game, you know, at least based on how those guys are capable of playing. So it is a little bit of a troubling trend for them because that should be a strength of the defense, McCourty, Harmon, Chung. And at times against that this type of scheme, what you saw from the Chiefs in that game, what you saw from Philadelphia, some of the same elements of it from Doug Peterson, who was with Andy Reid in Kansas City, and then go back to the season opener last year. I mean, that's three times you've played that scheme or had some of those elements, and it's been 40-plus every time. And you start to wonder, is it something that's schematic or is it just that this is a scheme that puts Patriot players, you know, in space against speed? And that's a problem. It's just a problem in terms of what the personnel is, and it's not going to get better.
So, yeah, it doesn't feel like there's going to be any kind of quick fix. That's obvious.
Well, we'll see this week because Matt Nagy was there, you know, last year as the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Now, I don't think they have quite the same level of weaponry or the quarterback with Trubisky, but I mean, Tariq Cohen is a guy, you know, running backs out of the backfield for
Taylor
the Patriots.
Gabriel's one of the fastest players in the NFL, and you saw how much trouble they had with a guy like Tariq Hill last week. So that's a guy and you may remember, like I do, in Super Bowl 51 against the Atlanta Falcons, Taylor Gabriel spinning Malcolm Butler around like a top.
He got him on his butt. He broke his ankle.
So yeah, there's some weapons there. And I don't like the spot you know, because the Patriots just played this tough game up and down, especially in that second half, and it feels like a gigantic win. They're on the road here. It's a place they haven't played since December of 2010. Thankfully, there's no, you know, inclement weather like it was in that blizzard they played in that game that year. Blowout, if you remember it. But still, you're still, you know, dealing with a guy that's from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Doug Peterson certainly had your number in Super Bowl 52. Trubisky can make plays with his legs. This Patriots offense seems to be banged up now. Rob Gronkowski pops up yesterday with a back thing too. Like, you don't want to hear that. So,
and we still might not have gotten to the, you know, all the ankle back. We still maybe haven't gotten to the real injury.
What do you mean? What do you mean? No, by
just saying.
What do you know?
That's all I can say.
Oh. Oh, what do you? Well, come on.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, we still might not be at the real injury.
Huh. Oh, isn't that a little nugget that's thrown out there? I'm asking you during the commercial break. And, you know, so obviously Trubisky's played better at home, too. And them playing five quarters down Miami, coming off a bye, you know, they're playing in heat. Like, they're going to be more comfortable. I think the Pats win tomorrow, but I'm not going to be shocked if it's a shootout. I think it will be. And it's just overall, I think, a bit of a potential letdown spot for them.
It is. You know, I would feel the same way as you, but I just, you know, when I look at what Belichick was able to do to Mahomes in the first half of that game, and I look at Mitchell Trubisky, and he's played really well this year. You know, Mitchell Trubisky has completed 70% of his passes.
Yes.
I mean, that is just shocking to me. And it speaks to the rampant, I call it grade inflation for quarterbacks in the NFL. But I just think that they are going to put him in a position where he's not going to be comfortable and to turn the football over. And I think he's going to do it. I'm not the biggest Mitchell Trubisky fan. I know he had the 6-touchdown pass game against the Buccaneers, but I don't think he's quite there yet.
Well, that's also the Bucs, who have since fired their defensive coordinator, Mike Smith, and rightfully so. And, you know, that was a game that they had quit in the second half. So, yeah, those numbers are inflated. But your bigger takeaway from your column earlier this week after that win over Kansas City is that, you know, okay, it's good that they won, but you feel like the team, especially the defense, shouldn't feel good about that win.
No, and you know, I was in the locker room after the game, and I thought that those guys were sort of ambivalent. Like, they were happy that they won, obviously, but you know, it was a little more subdued than you would expect, because I think they realized that that type of defensive performance most times is going to get you beat. And I also think there was an element of, okay, we've seen this before, and now I don't want to say they thought they had it figured out, but we're going to do a better job defending it. And they didn't. They didn't do a better job defending it. And they gave up those big plays, you know, to Hunt and Tyreek Hill. So it's one of those things when you sort of look at it, you know, I felt consistently that this year's defense should be better than last year's. But what was alarming to me about that game was that wasn't, you know, your guy, Cassius Marsh, chasing after somebody. It wasn't Kyle Van Noy not playing well on the edge like in the season opener. You know, Kyle Van Noy didn't have a great game last week, but he's a better player than he was in that opener last year.
Yeah.
He's a good player. It wasn't, you know, Marquise Flowers and Johnson Batamosi and you know, Jordan Richards chasing guys. Like, those were your real guys, and they still dropped 40 on you. So that's sort of what is disconcerting. And again, I don't know the answer. I don't know. It could just be a crazy coincidence with that scheme. But you look at it, is it something schematic that they can't get past? Or is it that that's a scheme that creates problems for the Patriots? It puts some of their players in space against speed. And that's a shortcoming of this defense. It's not the fastest defense in the NFL. It's not the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Which the Chiefs carved that defense up, by the way. But I just wonder, because I think you're going to face this again at some point. And are you capable of stopping it with the personnel that you have? Now, we were talking earlier, you know, they made this move today with Stephon Gilmore and restructured his contract to clear up some cap space. Does that mean with the trade deadline coming here at the end of the month that they're looking to add a little speed in the middle of the field, you know, whether it be at linebacker or somewhere else?
Yeah, it feels like when I saw that this morning, I found that a little bit odd. It does feel like, okay, maybe there's going to be a move coming, hopefully. The other thing I found uncharacteristically and as a concern in this game on Sunday was how bad the special teams was overall. Like, giving up that Tremont Smith 97-yard return, you have that weird little squib kick thing, which...
That was actually a good play by the Chiefs. You know, that squib kick, you can question whether you should have called it, but that was a good play by that guy to pick that up on the bounce and not let it roll for more yards. I think the Patriots at that point were saying, hey, you know, we don't want the 97-yard return they got later in the game. That was a good play by the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have, you know, some of the best special teams, you know, in the league. Their special teams coach is
Dave Tube, baby.
Dave Tube, is he's really good. He's really good.
How much of this, though, is... Okay, but I'm with you in terms of concerns.
Tube or Tobe? I feel like it's Tobe.
Tobe, tomato. how much of this is, and I'm with you in terms of concerns for the Patriots defense, but how much of it is just indicative of what this is what the league has become? You talked about Mitch Trubisky's numbers. Yeah. Like, everything just feels inflated. It's insane. Is this just what defense is in the NFL now?
Well, here's what I would say with the Patriots. I think a lot of the times their defense has been based philosophically on the idea of don't give up the big play, make the other team make these plays, and eventually they'll screw up. And I think it's getting harder and harder to rely on the average to sub-average NFL quarterback to just screw up enough times in a game for you to win because the rules are so slanted in their favor. And I think there are times defensively that you have to sort of make things happen, like Hightower did, versus sort of just saying, okay, we don't think this guy can go down the field and have a 12-play drive. Or we think if we flush this guy out to his left, he can't make this throw because that's the weakness we see on film. It's just a little harder to rely on the other guys not getting the job done in today's NFL because the rules are so slanted towards making it easier for the quarterback to do their job.
Would you make him a Mahomes overall? I mean, granted, they've been on TV a bunch. They were on against the game against the Niners where Garoppolo gets hurt, the Pittsburgh game, the Jacksonville game. So I feel like we've got to really watch this team. And now they finally come here. I think he's the real deal. Obviously, a pretty small sample size, but the way he ended up playing in that second half, that's more of what you've seen all year.
Yeah, you know, I thought he was a little too geeked up in the beginning.
Definitely.
And that was the other reason I didn't feel great about that defensive performance, because he missed an obvious touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt. I mean, he could have floated that one in there. The Tyreek Hill one, he was under pressure, but I think he'd tell you that's a throw he should make, and he made more difficult throws than that later in the game. So there were some ones the Patriots got away with. He's really good. And I liked him a lot coming out of Texas Tech and in that draft, and I liked that move for the Chiefs. I'm not going to say that I knew that he would be this, but I thought he'd be an upgrade on Alex Smith and a starting quarterback in the league, and boy, is he ever. I mean, that guy, he can sling it, man. He can really throw it around the field. I mean, to me, he's almost like a bigger Russell Wilson with a stronger arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he's legit. And, man, going into that game, my concern one, offensively, it's speed on top of speed on top of speed. Up and down that roster, and my God.
So, you know, if you go back to the start of this Patriots dynasty, right, in 2001 against the Rams had all that speed. But what did the Patriots do to slow it down? I still remember, like, William McGinnis basically assaulting Marshall Faulk in the backfield on, like, every play.
Yeah, but you can't chip like that.
You can't do that. Chipped Kelsey. They did a nice job chipping Kelsey. I saw a lot of that. But you just can't do that. They don't let you get physical with guys like that anymore to slow them down. So that's a challenge for the Patriots.
So you hadn't heard this sound yet. Head coach Bill Belichick did his press conference, late week press conference yesterday. And I want you to make the call here. Did Coach Belichick throw Devin McCourty?
Is this the Alcoa you make the call?
Under the bus. I think this is must-hear audio, so we're going to play that for you next. You want to talk Pats? Now's the time. 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray. You're on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap to Mahomes, play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claiborne. Moves up, fires deep downfield, and Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon. Down the left sideline, 10-5. Gone! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Devin's still, he's one of our best players. Yeah, I mean, you know, had three bad plays. Cost us 21 points. Two on defense, one in the kicking game, so hopefully we can. I mean, there's plenty of other plays too, but, you know, put 20 in points. Just throw 20 in points up there on three plays. It's hard to have a good day when you do that.
Yeah, look out for that bus, Devin. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So during his Friday press conference, that's Bill Belichick being asked about Devin McCourty's recent struggles. Talks him up, holds him in high regard, one of our best players, and then says, yeah, he's one of our best players. We had three bad plays that cost us 21 points, two on defense, one in the kicking game. I just want to be fair here, that audio of the Hill touchdown for 75 yards, that was more on Harmon taking a horrific angle more than anything else. But McCourty also involved in that play. It just feels like that was uncharacteristic of Belichick. That was borderline bus throwing. Like, whoa. Like, that's, hey, we got a seat for you on Felger and Maz, Bill. You want to be throwing out stuff like that? You fit right in.
Yeah, I mean, normally he'd go into the, you know, we all need to be better, coach better, play better. Look, you know, nobody's perfect. We can all, you know, we can go back and look at that game. There's lots of things. You know, I think we all can find lots of things we can do better. And that was interesting. He put the 21 points right in Devin's lap, huh?
Yeah, right. So you know, because Jace McCourty is at fault for the Kareem Hunt 67-yard touchdown to open the second half. Daron Harmon lets off, you know, he has that bad angle in the 75-yard
Yeah, so I was going to say before, I stupidly had not turned my mic on. There, after post-game, Daron Harmon was asked if he was supposed to have help there, and he was, you know, he didn't say that he was supposed to, but you could tell by the way he was reacting that he was that something happened on that play, whether it was Devin or somebody else, you know, something happened there. So
what's going on with this? Do you think there might be something? Do you want to say what you were saying during the commercial?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. I'll just say it. You know, they did that renegotiation for Stephon Gilmore, and you know, they obviously needed to create a little cap space. And frankly, I still think they need to create a little more. There's a number of people who have tweeted, including my colleague Ben Volen, that, you know, look, they have these, you know, they need some of this money to play, not to pay, not likely to be earned incentives and all that other stuff. So they need some more cap space. Well, Devin McCourty's cap hit this year is $11.9 million. That's pretty high. And so I wonder if, you know, the reason Bill was a little perturbed and sort of did what he did was they went to Devin and said, hey, we need you to do a renegotiation. And Devin said, no, I'm good. Because that's the type of thing that would really agitate Bill. And that's where you'd get a little dig like that. When you don't do what he wants you to do when it comes to the money.
Look how Malcolm Butler got treated. You know, you mean to tell me that the money didn't have something to do with that? Yeah. Of course it did. And through the history of this guy running this franchise, when you screw with the money or you want more, or you won't play ball, that's when you find your ass benched or out or in the doghouse or being thrown under the bus in terms of the press conference.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past Bill. He's looking, he's saying, yeah, your cap number of $11.9 million. For give up three touchdowns to almost cost us the game. You sure you don't want to renegotiate that deal?
You know, the thing I meant to ask you too, we were talking about last week's game in the last segment. Does it feel like order has been restored to the conference? Because obviously that was huge in terms of seeding going forward. If Kansas City wins that game, like, the Patriots could all but forget about the number one seed.
I never bought into that, though.
You didn't? Way to really?
Remember, the Chiefs started 5-0 last year. Where'd they finish with 11 wins?
And it's still with Alex Smith, though, and you know, I think he's a
I know what you're saying, though. I would have put him in a tough spot. I'll play along. Sorry.
Yeah. So is order restored in a lot of ways for the Patriots?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, obviously the 1-2 start was tough, and then they've reeled off three straight. So it feels like order has been restored and they're back on track. And I think the conference is, you know, pretty wide open. I still think they're the favorite. You look at what's happening in the AFC North. There's three pretty good teams there, with the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Steelers. I think the Steelers have righted the ship a little bit. And then I think you look to Kansas City, and I think those are their primary contenders. You know, I like Jacksonville. I had a feeling this was going to happen to Jacksonville. You know, they were going to beat the Patriots, and people were going to...
That was their Super Bowl.
Yeah, anoint them, and then they've gone the other way. And it hasn't just been Bortles, who was terrible against the Chiefs. It's also the idea that that defense hasn't been quite the same. So a lot of chirping from that defense, but not the same level of production.
Chargers feel like they've kind of righted their ship too.
Oh, I never believe in the Chargers.
No, really? Even at 4-2,
that's a team
had a couple
that
of
always
back-to-back good wins?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No, the Chargers are a team, they always find a way to hurt themselves. The Chargers will finish 9-7 or 10-6 and miss the playoffs because that's what they do. There'll be some stupid Phillip Rivers interception or some dumb decision. I still can't get over the game they played here last year. Like, the, you know, Travis Benjamin running into the end zone safety. Yeah. Who was the guy who would have scored a touchdown and, like, untouched, ran out of bounds, and then came back in and was the first one to touch it? I never believe in the Los Angeles Chargers. No, that's a dumb team. No.
All right, so the Patriots on the table. You want to talk about them, 617-779-0985. Of course, the Red Sox, top of mind for most people. The last time that Chris and I did this show, game one of the ALCS hadn't even been played. And then that series starts off with Chris Sale kind of looking like a shell of himself, dealing with this injury. Yeah. You know, it's an ugly loss there. The wheel of gutless bums, that spun, especially late in the game.
Is the wheel still active?
The wheel has been stalled. In fact, the wheel was transferred over to the Houston dugout for the ALCS.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh,
I thought
wow.
Those pitchers up and down, including their starters, mostly were shook. So it didn't...
Would you change the name to, like, from wheel of gutless bums to wheel of not-so-bad guys?
Yeah, I don't. There's a, what's how would you how would I rename it right now?
Yeah, I'm curious how you rename it.
The wheel of bums with guts right now in terms of you know, guys like Barnes and how he's played and Brazier. You know, they've looked like you know they've found themselves
how
here.
About it's just the wheel of okay.
Yeah, the wheel of okay, the old wheel of okay bullpen. That's something like that. But obviously, since that game, they salvage a split in Boston. The Astros get caught for cheating. Alex Bregman, he pokes the bear. Stupid Instagram post. Houston's pitching staff turns into the real wheel of gutless bums. And David Price finally wins a postseason game. It's been a hell of a week for the Red Sox. They're off to the World Series, and it just feels like. It feels to me, Chris, I've said it with Felger and Maz on NBC Sports Boston, got to do a spot there last night. This is a formality at this point. Between now and November 1st, like whoever it is, the Dodgers, the Brewers, they're winning this thing.
It does feel that way. I mean, it definitely has that sort of 2013 feel to it. It was interesting when Verlander gave up the home run.
To J.D. Martinez.
Martinez. That was the first one that he had given up since he gave up the one to Napoli in 2013. First ALCS home run, I should say, he'd given up. So I thought there was just sort of interesting, sort of the parallel there a little bit between those two home runs. Because this is a guy who's been like nails, particularly in the ALCS.
Yeah, but even in that inning prior, it just felt like real early. You could say like, oh, this isn't his night either because he's over the middle of the plate. He's got bases loaded.
Well, I mean,
he gets out of the jam by striking out Mookie Betts.
I mean, in fairness, he did strike out J.D. Martinez before that home run. I mean, that pitch, the umpire missed that pitch.
Yeah, still, I was... The thing I was most impressed with the Red Sox in this series is their patience at the plate. And I think that's what contributed to frustrating guys like Verlander and the pitching staff overall for Houston. You could see the frustration on their face. You saw how many times that they were walking batters, how many runs they gave up with two outs already on the board. Like, that was that whole series. The Red Sox getting production with two outs, especially from guys like Jackie Bradley Jr. So it was impressive, and I think a lot of that had to do with the institutional knowledge from Alex Cora. And to me, if you could give it to the manager, he's truly the MVP.
I agree. I was thinking about this. You know, I wanted to write that because I have a column in the Globe that's going to go up about Cora, and I was writing it, and I was like, Alex Cora should be the MVP. And I'm like, wait, can a manager be the most valuable player? I'm like, somehow that... I let the grammar like get in the way. I'm like, I don't think I can write that.
Make it person, most valuable person.
Oh, that's good. See,
so
I should
you
have
still
that.
Get to have the P.
You're right. That's a good. I'll use that, Jim.
Feel free to steal.
Okay.
You don't have to give me any credit.
We'll give you a contributor tag.
So yes, the Red Sox. It's the World Series Game 1 Tuesday night at Fenway Park. And Alex Cora spoke yesterday saying, okay, Chris Sale is going to get Game 1, and a lot of this in terms of how he's going to
Game 1 against the Brewers.
Set up the rotation. Hopefully, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah. Go Brewers.
Yeah.
saw the snow in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Cold out there.
Wisconsin's lovely this time of year.
Now looking like Felger and Maz show would have to travel if they do play the Brewers. I would rather get a root canal, honestly, if I'm here. I don't want to have to do
without
that.
Without the Novocaine, right?
Yeah. And seeing as how this whole postseason has played out, and it's almost as if the Red Sox are doing certain things to spite me and guys like Adam Jones, I can assure you that tonight the Brewers are going to win. So I'm going to have to
travel.
Well,
this is tough.
This
I mean, Cousin Jared is part of the Brew Crew, so, I mean, I don't think he really cares about your travel plans. He's going to be rooting hard for all the stoolies. They're all pulling for the Brewers.
Have you been to Milwaukee too? It's like Worcester with Austrian architecture. It really is not a great place.
Check out the bronze fonts.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, me too.
I've seen the bronze fonts. The stupid casino.
Yeah,
everyone's a million pounds. Please go Dodgers. I need to have the Dodgers tonight.
Plus
air to breathe.
There's so many airlines that fly there directly. It's an easy place to get to.
Oh God. Okay, so you want to weigh in on anything like that we've touched on today, including Celtics. We did the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon. Embarrassment of riches for all of you right now in terms of sports around here. Pats, Bears tomorrow. You want to talk about last week's game and the shootout with the Chiefs. Got the Red Sox in the World Series. Any leftover thoughts from the ALCS? You have at it. 617-779-0985. In fact, Chris, speaking of Pats, Bears tomorrow, I want to get more insight on Chicago. We're going to talk to Bill Zimmerman, who is actually Mad Dog's producer at SiriusXM Radio. Big Bears fan, has a Bears blog. We'll talk to him, get some insight on the Bears next here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
Both the Bruins and Celtics in action tonight, both on the road. We'll start with the Celtics, second half of a back-to-back. They'll be at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. John Wallach and Cedric Maxwell will have the call starting at 7 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Last night, the Celtics lost in Toronto 113-101. Kawhi Leonard, a game-high 31 for the Raptors. Bruins playing the second-to-last game of their road trip tonight against the Canucks. That's a late start for us. 10 o'clock face-off. We'll have it for you right here on the Bruins Radio Network. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers on the call. Bruins trying to avoid a three-game losing streak. Patriots on their way to Chicago ahead of tomorrow's kickoff against the Bears. It's a 1 o'clock start time from Soldier Field. And we'll begin our pregame coverage at 10 a.m. here on the Sports Hub tomorrow. Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, Sony Michel, and Rob Gronkowski among those listed as questionable for the Patriots. Khalil Mack of the Chicago Bears looks like he'll be good to go, but he is listed as questionable with an ankle injury. College football scoreboard, top 25 action at Michigan State. There is a weather delay between the Spartans and the Michigan Wolverines. In fact, they had to evacuate the entire stadium in Lansing. And at Wisconsin, there was some snow there before, but the Badgers lead Illinois 14-7 that game in the second half. Oklahoma on top of TCU 21-7. And at halftime, Harvard trails Princeton 10-7 that game over at Harvard Stadium. Red Sox, we do know that they're hosting Game 1 of the World Series Tuesday night, and Chris Sale will get the start in that one. Their opponent, either the Dodgers, who Jim Murray is really rooting hard for tonight, or the Brewers, Game 7 of the NLCS tonight in Milwaukee. Sox having a workout today over at Fenway. And also, according to manager Alex Cora, looks like David Price will get the start in Game 2. That would be on Wednesday night. Headlines are brought to you by Safety Insurance, providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and business. Ask your independent agent about safety. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Trubisky. Over the middle, wide open. And Anthony Miller, the rookie, with the big catch. Touchdown, Chicago.
Yeah, he's done a good job for him. Athletic kid, big, strong, good arm. Throw the ball, make all the throws. Hard guy to tackle, some of the running plays he's involved in. But seems to be more comfortable with the offense each week. They do a little more. They hit a lot of big plays. They've been hitting them all year, though. He gets the ball to a lot of different people.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick talking up young Mitch Trubisky, quarterback of the Chicago Bears. It is Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Patriots, Bears, tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff in Chicago. Joining us on the expert hotline to give us a little more insight into the Bears side of tomorrow's game. It is Bill Zimmerman of the wonderfully named website BearGogglesOn.com. And those of you who listen to Mad Dog Russo on Sirius also know him as Billy Z. What's up, Bill? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. I got to let people know, too. I retweeted this. I was happy to join you on BearGogglesOn.com just the other day to talk this game in terms of the Patriots side of things. But Mitch Trubisky, is he having a breakthrough season, or is a lot of this some padded stats based on that game against Tampa a few weeks back where he finished with 6 touchdowns?
I think there's some padded stats element there, but I don't think it's just padded stats because I'll be honest, despite the statistics not being as good, I think he was actually better against Miami. Now, he had a crippling red zone turnover interception there, which you can't have, but he played very well in the second half. I mean, Tampa Bay, that secondary was a joke. I mean, you and I would have been wide open in that secondary. So in that aspect, he has steadily looked better, especially the last 2 games. The book is still out on him right now. We don't know which Mitch Trubisky we're going to see, but I have a feeling we're going to see more of the Tampa-Miami Mitch Trubisky than we did the Mitch Trubisky of the first 3 games.
You know, Bill, the defense has been good for the Bears so far this year, forcing 14 turnovers, but when you give up 541 yards to Brock Osweiler, that sort of raises some eyebrows. What happened last week?
That's a good question, and I'm going to hope, you know, as someone who roots for the team as well as covering it, that it was an anomaly and it was due to the heat. The Miami heat index was over 100. Now here's a couple stats for you. The Bears missed 15 tackles total in the first 4 games of the season and 2 in the first half. 17 total. The second half of that game, they missed 17 tackles. So they equaled the amount from the entire season. I'm going to think that a lot of that had to do with being run down in the heat and just not being able to wrap up and finish tackles. If that is a problem and this team is not a good tackling team, then Adam Gase gave Belichick and everybody else the blueprint on how to expose that, and that's quick passes and force them to tackle you.
Now, I'm a nervous Patriots fan, Bill. Anyone that listens with regularity already knows that. So I feel like this will be a shootout tomorrow based on the fact that Matt Nagy, the head coach there, comes from the Andy Reid tree, and the Chiefs score 40 points last week. The Eagles hang 41 on them in the Super Bowl with Doug Peterson, obviously from the Andy Reid tree. So does Matt Nagy follow the template here, and do you think this is going to be a high-scoring game?
I'm having a hard time exactly reading exactly how this game's going to go, because I think Trubisky is still, what he's furthest behind in is reads and progressions. And I think if any coach is going to be able to confuse him with different kind of looks and hiding coverages and hiding blitz schemes, it's going to be Bill Belichick. So if he does that successfully and Trubisky gets confused, we're going to see a couple turnovers, and I'm not sure exactly if the Bears offense is going to click. However, if Trubisky does read the defense correctly, they've got a lot of speed. They got Tariq Cohen, they've got Taylor Gabriel, and those are the type of guys I think that are going to be able to find some space in that Patriots defense and cause some problems.
You mentioned, Tariq Cohen, obviously he's had a strong year for the Bears. What's going on with Jordan Howard? It seems like, the average per rush is down. Is that a reflection of the offensive line struggles run blocking, or is he being used differently somehow?
He's not being used differently, and there's been a lot of discussion in Chicago about what exactly is going on with Howard. Now, when Nagy first got hired and everyone kind of started looking at this offense, they kind of said, all right, I don't know if Jordan Howard fits this offense. You need a running back like a Kareem Hunt, a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield and do a lot of different things. Now, Howard's a very good running back, but pass catching and being utilized in the passing game, that is not his thing. Now, he worked hard in the offseason trying to get better at it. And against Green Bay in week one, it looked like maybe they were going to be all right there, but something has happened. Now, the Bears have a good offensive line. It's not a great offensive line, but it's a good offensive line. And, I mean, maybe there's been some issues with holes and everything for Howard, but at the same time, Tariq Cohen's got a very good yards per carry average. And, Mitch Trubisky, when he runs, has the ability to find space. So there's something going on with Howard. I've heard some people say, well, he needs 20, 25 carries a game to be effective. Well, if that's the case, that's not going to happen, because that's not how Nagy utilizes guys. He throws a ton of different looks out there. He tries to utilize everybody. You're going to see Gabriel with a few touches. You're going to see Cohen with a few touches. They'll be in the backfield. They'll be out as, split out as wide receivers. Trey Burton will be in tight. Trey Burton will be outside. He's going to spread the ball around as much as possible so the defense doesn't know who's getting it. And if that is going to be a problem for Jordan Howard moving forward, then he may not get on track. And for the Bears, if they are a playoff team, especially come late season games, bad weather in Chicago, whatever it might be, they're going to need Jordan Howard to give them 15 to 20 carries with a 4 to 5 yard per carry average and help keep the time of possession going and keep the defense fresh. And it's yet to be seen if he's going to be able to do that this season.
Getting some insight on the Bears from Bill Zimmerman of BearGogglesOn.com, also executive producer of Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM. So, Bill, finally, Khalil Mack practices yesterday. Same for Allen Robinson as well. Both limited. But in terms of Mack, what are they going to get out of him with this ankle injury? Because it felt like from the bit that I watched from last week's game with the Dolphins, he seemed a little bit hobbled.
He was definitely hobbled. And again, I don't know if it's the ankle, I don't know if it was the heat, but even in the first half, Mack didn't do a lot, and he did hurt that ankle early. So we'll see how much that ankle affects him. Now, the Bears kind of let on and said that in terms of wrapping it properly and treating it properly, they just really couldn't do it in-game. And nobody in Chicago from the Bears organization seems concerned at all about Khalil Mack. So hopefully he's a full go. But speaking of injuries, one guy to keep an eye on is Bryce Callahan, yeah, who was a surprise addition to the injury list on Friday. He apparently hurt his ankle late Thursday. Surprise addition makes him questionable. They're saying it's precautionary, but that's the guy I would look at that maybe doesn't play. A lot of people may not know who he is, but he plays the slot corner and does an excellent job. And he could be, now he's not the highest paid corner, but he may be playing the best corner of anyone for the Bears right now. So keep an eye on that.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting. I had seen that injury, and I was sort of curious, about that. I know I'd seen some of the playing time numbers for Callahan. Honestly, don't know much about him. But you're saying, would that be the guy that would sort of match up with the Julian Edelman if he's healthy?
Yeah, that would be the plan. And the Bears, while they're a 3-4 defense, their base is really nickel. They're in the nickel, I would say, 90% of the time. So Callahan's constantly out there. You know, he's not afraid to step up and get in the mix in the run game. He's going to, like I said, be used in the slot. So he'll be matched up on Edelman a lot. If he can't go, that's going to be something that Belichick will absolutely exploit.
Just real quick before we let you go, Bill, I'm just curious in terms of like how Bears fans feel about this team this year, because it feels like they're the surprise team so far of the 2018 season through 6 weeks. Are people pumped, or is it just like, they're going to let us down again?
Yeah, I think there's definitely optimism, and it's definitely growing. You know, the Bears, here's the thing with the Bears. The Bears, when Ryan Pace got hired a few years ago, he blew up this team. He started from scratch. He built through the draft, and then finally this past year they made big splashes in free agency and, of course, the Mac trade. But here's the thing. They weren't very forthright with it. You know, Theo Epstein came to the Cubs. He said, I'm blowing up this team. We're going to stink for a while, and you're going to have to deal with it, but we'll get you a championship. So people were patient with Theo. The Bears weren't as forthright with this. So everyone expected Ryan Pace to make a few tweaks, and hopefully the Bears would compete. But what a lot of fans didn't realize is really how bad this team was. I mean, he took over a team. If you guys remember the Mark Trestman teams,
those teams
were awful. That second year, they were quitting. The Patriots beat them by, you know, 40 points, whatever it was, after they had just lost by 50 points to the Packers the week before. They were getting annihilated by teams. The teams quit. They needed to really overhaul the team, and Pace kind of started from scratch here, and that's going to take a while. And he's finally got his pieces in place. But here's the problem. When you have, you know, Ryan Pace and the Ryan Pace team struggling, you're going to have people who say, you know what, Ryan Pace is a terrible GM. And then you get people who are too stubborn to admit that they were wrong and refuse to admit that there's a good product on the field right now. So you've got a lot of Bears fans who are optimistic, but you still have this group of Bears fans that almost want to be proven right that this team is bad. So it's a weird mix in Chicago right now.
Well, good stuff. Bill Zimmerman of BearGogglesOn.com, of course, the executive producer of Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM as well. You want to follow him on Twitter, at ZimmermanSXM. Bill, thanks for the insight. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, so it's Bears and Patriots tomorrow, 1 o'clock kick in Chicago. You'll be out there covering that game. As long as your flight gets there.
We'll see. Dealing
with some inclement weather in that part of the country right now.
Weather does not look good.
But Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak, of course, will have the call here on 98.5, the Sports Hub with a, thank God, 1 o'clock kick, because these night games are killing me. We'll wrap up the show next. Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gaspar of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five!
I got five.
All right, so we wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we're both here. It's five questions for Chris Gaspar. Got nothing to do with sports. So question number one, Chris, is there anything that you've retired from? You think of your life here. What have you retired from?
Video games. And I didn't want to. It wasn't intentional. But I'm just like, I was talking about this the other day with my brother. I'm like, man, how did these people find the time for this? Like, I'd love to find the time for it. But yeah, I'm pretty much retired. Like, I haven't played Madden in like years. It's pretty pathetic and sad, to be honest.
We're on the same wavelength here. I'm not fully retired from video games as a whole. I just got a copy of that South Park role-playing game, the latest one that came out like during the summer. So I'm playing that intermittently. But I'm retired from Madden. I am straight retired from Madden. I haven't bought it in 2 years. Prior to that, I literally bought it every single year since 1990 on the Sega Genesis. I'm done with Madden.
Wow.
Too many buttons. You have to sit there and practice like you're an NFL player. You have to do two-a-days to learn how to play that game and be proficient at it. F off.
You really don't? It's just that we're old. And I had this conversation with one of my uncles because I, you know, used to always play video games with him. And I used to say, man, I never understood like why you... I was like, geez, my uncle's not bad, but he'd be a lot better if he stopped looking down at the controller for the buttons. Now, like, that's us. We're like, you're old. And the moment you have to look down, you're done. That's it. It's over. You shouldn't play anymore.
Question number two. More than 30 million people are going to spend an estimated $480 million treating their pets to costumes this Halloween. Thoughts on dressing pets up, or thoughts on people who dress their pets up?
No.
Yeah,
that's a bad idea. I mean, you could spend that money. You could help, you know, human beings.
Pets are people's children. Believe me, I know.
I know. Here we go.
So I have no problem with this.
Of course.
I will not shame the people who dress up there.
No problem with it. But, you know, can't take 30 seconds out of your day to cut up the little plastic things on a can of soda. You love the pets.
I don't
buy
that.
Except for when it comes to, you know, you having to discard your trash. Then you're all about choking some poor seal or some poor animal by not cutting up the little plastic
thing. One big contradiction. Out of sight, out of mind, Chris. Question number three. There is now a Golden Girls-inspired cereal, believe it or not. And it's flying off the shelves because, for whatever reason... a lot of people love Golden Girls. Would you or your wife buy Golden Girls cereal?
No, definitely not. It's old and stale, like that show.
Yeah. Open up the box and it's like, you know, those those like Crypt Keeper peanuts that you buy at Fenway.
Yeah.
You try to bite into them and it's like, just like poof, just sand.
Leftover from World War II.
Come on.
Yeah.
I was a huge Sophia fan.
I don't understand. Like, it wasn't funny then.
Old ladies.
It's not funny now.
Old women talking about sex, hysterical.
Absolutely
hysterical.
Speaking of out of sight, out of mind, old women. I don't want to hear them talk about anything, let alone sex.
Oh,
my God. Misogynist, boo, Jim. Next. There's a video game theme music festival called Play coming in 2019, Chris. Good idea or a bad idea to bring these two worlds together?
Oh, I think it's a good idea. Let some of these people get out and see sunlight and girls. I think this is a great idea.
How many girls will be at those concerts? There's a lot of good soundtracks to video games, so I'm actually not going to mock this.
That'd be cool.
I think there's money to be made there.
I kind of want to go to this, to be honest.
You do it for like Metal Gear Solid, that first one, any of the Final Fantasy games. Like, there's good music in video games.
Yeah, I agree.
Final question this week, and now as of today, we've seen the Mega Millions jackpot soar to, what is it, like estimated to be 1.6 billion? We're in the billions now. It's like an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play when it gets really large, or you just not bother?
I don't. I'm like weird. I don't know. I don't gamble. I just don't.
A buck and a hope.
Yes.
What can go wrong?
Scratch tickets, I don't know. I've never, it's the whole concept of it is so foreign to me. So that's like, you know, when we have Joe Murray in here and he's talking about, I mean, he might as well be speaking, you know, Russian. I have no idea what he's talking about. So the whole gambling thing to me from scratch tickets on up is completely foreign.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah, I don't play much, but when it does get to these absurd levels, yeah, you got it. Like I said, it's a buck and a hope. And with that kind of money, not only could you do good, you could do like fun evil too. Like I've thought about it. Like if I won that kind of money, would I buy businesses of enemies just so I could shut them down? Oh, you know I would. That will wrap up five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Coming up, hey, some bonus Jones.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't got to yell at Adam Jones about Jackie Bradley Jr. or the Red Sox or David Price or anything else, what up, Jones? How'd you get stuck with this?
I don't know.
And did I see you walking around with your wife and young Jones child?
Yes, that's true. Yes, a little family outing to 98.5 the Sports Hub World Headquarters. Yes.
The progeny of Jones in the house.
Big day. Big day. I don't know. It's just kind of how my week's gone that I'm stuck here on a Saturday, I'd say. Sixth question for Chris Gasper.
Yes.
Is there a God? Answer no with the way my week has gone. I agree with Stephen Hawking. Answer no. So we're going to get to Jackie Bradley Jr. We're going to get to David Price, apparently just busting narratives left and right. One game, throw out 10 years of crap. One game, throw it out. Narrative busted. And I got some thoughts on the Celtics as well last night.
Man, Jones, you've had to come up with a lot of new material this week, huh?
Oh, no, it's
really just the same old material. It's just yelling louder about it.
Okay.
I've been meaning to tell you, too, because I was in here doing some production stuff when you were doing your show, and you're equating yourself to Lieutenant Dan screaming into the void on the boat.
Yeah, it's a good 25-year-old reference,
Well, no, you got it twisted. I don't want you to think that I think it's an old reference. When you were saying, is it 1994? I was nodding saying it was from 1994. I think it's a great reference, because you really are that at this point. You're the legless Lieutenant Dan screaming to God, like, ah, all my takes.
Yep.
Ah!
Yeah, that's how my week's going. Yeah, indeed.
Adam Jones up next here. You want to join him? 617-779-0985 for Chris Gasper. Always a pleasure. Safe travels.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Chicago. Catch him on the, you'll be with the pregame tomorrow with Beetle?
Yes, we will.
All right. So listen to that. You guys will start 10 a.m. here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sarge, always a pleasure. He'll hang with Jones for the next half hour. Kristen Sermon producing the show. Talk to you Monday at 2 at Felgram Mez. Enjoy your weekend. Go Pats. Bye.